Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
My plan is to find a place in the world where, the soil is most fertile for germination of more liberty. And so I'm looking around. One of those places that I often mention on air is the U.S. Marianas. And
right. You lived there briefly last year, correct?
2 months, and I am still a resident. I was driven off my homeland by the COVID, and so I...
So you've adopted the Marianas Islands as your homeland?
It is my residence, yes.
Okay.
Yep. It's the freest place in the United States. Where else would a U.S. libertarian go live?
Ian, do you agree that it's the freest place in the United States?
I have not been there, so I can't really speak to that. But it's interesting. I've been very interested to see what Mark said about his time there. And, of course, former co-hosts Alex and Vin, who hosted the Marianas Edition for a little while last year, they had interesting things to say. And I've been watching Vin Armani's posts on Twitter over the last year. I think he's been there about a year now. So they seem to be big fans of it.
Okay. Well, I don't know if I would agree that it's going to be freer than, New Hampshire. They all have their ups and downs. For example, isn't gun ownership tightly restricted on the Marianas Islands?
You could still walk out into the water and sit in a Sherman tank. My son did. I did. My family did. We all went out and visited. I think it was 3 different Sherman tanks off the shore.
Why are there tanks off the shore?
Because the tanks needed to come up to shoot Japanese people.
Okay.
Saipan,
they just left them there?
The tanks or the Japanese people?
The tanks.
The tanks, they just left them there. Yeah.
Okay.
They're now tourist attractions. Why wouldn't you leave them there? People love them.
Saipan, we have some of the best scuba sites. We have fallen airplanes, tanks, and boats from World War II. You can swim down through them and see it for yourself.
It's really awesome.
So Alex, Crypto Frontier is a cryptocurrency-focused project. This isn't like a libertarian migration per se, right?
Yeah, we're focused more on implementing crypto in real life. It's been a great last year or so for cryptocurrencies, but few people are actually using it. All they're doing is gambling in the latest online casino. But when people go to take their money out of the exchange, they realize, wait a second, these fees are crazy. How do I use this crypto in real life? How can I buy a coffee with Bitcoin? That's the problem we're trying to solve, is make it so people can actually use crypto in real life, buy things, and just live.
You've since been implementing the system of, I don't remember, NFC chips, where people can use dollar tethers, like USDH, correct?
Yeah, so basically our thought process is that we've had years and years to try the traditional cryptocurrencies, and they haven't worked. And the future of crypto is going to be stable coins. If you look at the top coins,
what do you mean it hasn't worked?
It's working great here.
I bought my cigarettes earlier today with Bitcoin Cash. It was smooth. And I also bought my Indian dinner with Bitcoin Cash.
It's not that the technology doesn't work. It's that it doesn't appeal to the average person. The average person uses PayPal. They use the Cash App. They use Venmo. They are used to interacting with digital dollars. What we want to do is swap it out from a centralized system of digital dollars to a decentralized system. We know that works because there's been a new payment app created every year. There was no Cash App 5-10 years ago.
Ultimately, if you're keeping them in the dollar, you're keeping them a victim of the dollar. As we all know that the government's going to print more dollars out and the value of that is going down. So you're not really doing them that much of a favor.
Yeah, I'm solving their problem. They do not perceive the dollar to be a problem. Their problem is they want more business and more customers. Mm-hmm. They want faster checkout. They want touchless checkout. Those are the problems that they've articulated, and those are the problems we want to solve. You have to go to someone and tell them, you have this problem you don't know you have. This currency, the most used currency in the world, it's wrong. You got to switch for this new currency that's only existed for a decade, and it's extremely volatile. That's not solving a problem.
I would agree
trying to change their philosophy.
That my experience when talking to people outside of the United States versus talking to them inside of the United States is that it's a lot easier to convince somebody who's in the U.S. And I really don't consider Saipan to be, even though it is the U.S. Marianas, it's a U.S. territory, it feels like half American, half half Micronesian island. I mean, there's differences. So when you're talking to somebody in the U.S., you can very easily make a tax on the Federal Reserve. They've heard this word. They understand it. Whereas if you're in a foreign country and you're talking about why dollars, or suck and the people who are doing it, they don't. You know, they're just like, hey, people spend these things here and they're great.
I'm with you in this regard that I don't consider tethers to be cryptocurrencies because they're
stable coins.
Why is that?
Well, for one, because they're tokens and they represent a currency.
In this case, stable coins, for listeners that don't know, is basically a token on a cryptocurrency blockchain that represents some sort of asset. It could be an ounce of gold. It could be silver. But in most cases, it tends to be fiat currencies. In this case, it's the dollar. So that's what a stable coin is.
So rather than taking all the time where we're here to have two different groups decide exactly how, unsuspecting vendors might accept cryptocurrency and argue about their particular stance on it, which doesn't sound like the most interesting parts of what's going on in the U.S. Marianas. Alex, would you be willing to admit that perhaps maybe some people would have done better if some of them were accepting say Bitcoin Cash over there right now with the market skyrocketing? And would you guys be willing to admit that these businesses that are currently accepting these tokens are much easier to onboard than any other business out there? Does that sound like something we can compromise with?
Sure.
Perhaps you own your property more in the U.S. Marianas than you do in, say, New Hampshire. Also, when you're talking about libertarians, they always want to talk about social freedom, so I think it's important to touch on it. Marijuana, completely legal. Is that right, Alex?
Yes.
Completely legal.
Does that mean you can buy it in stores?
Currently, they're implementing it, just like Massachusetts. It took them a couple years, but it's expected by this year, around June, the first stores will begin selling. Hmm. Wow. And you can grow it.
How does one obtain marijuana in the U.S. Marianas? Can you get all the things that people get at stores, like gummy bears and, soda pops? And I've only been in one of these things one time, and it just sold weed.
Yeah, until the official dispensary is open, it's just the black market supply, which has been quite significant for its entire history. According to the UN survey about a decade ago, we had the second highest smoking rates after Jamaica in the world.
So what about people who aren't interested in marijuana?
Okay, but I mean, libertarians tend to ask this particular question.
Sure.
It's a social freedom. All right, so gambling. Not only is there a big, beautiful casino, is it operational right now? I know they were having some kind of problems with COVID.
They shut down the casino. There's no tourists.
So Alex Ugorji, who we have on the line here, came in 2019 on Thanksgiving Day and did a show with Ian and I for 3 hours. And we peppered him the whole time, and the kid held up. He's a is it Berkeley grad?
No, he was.
You're joking, right?
I don't know. I can't never know. Stanford?
Yeah, the big S.
Okay, whatever. It's another one of these liberal colleges, as far as I'm concerned. But it's certainly one that proves that you can make it through these systems, and you're no fool. He held up under the pressure, and what I got from it was this really is a pretty free place, and I should probably go check it out and make sure that this isn't a bunch of hot air. And so when I showed up, I began sort of testing these things out, and it really is quite a free place. And by free, I mean in a libertarian sense that you can do what you want so long as you don't harm anybody else, and they're not going to really bother you. And they don't. I'd say the worst thing about it is that you cannot own property in the same fee simple way that the natives can. But, and this is very important, you probably should get there now and secure property, because this is going away and likely going away within the next decade.
What is?
this provision that's in their constitution.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
According to the New York Post, they're being slammed for, quote, diversity training that urged workers to be less white. Coca-Cola employees...
What the hell does that mean?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I've got a slideshow that suggests what that means. It was a confronting racism course offered by LinkedIn Education and allegedly utilized by Coca-Cola. In the U.S. and other Western nations, white people are socialized to feel that they are inherently superior because they are white, reads one of the slides, allegedly sent from an internal whistleblower and posted on Twitter. Another slide suggests to try to be less white, with tips including be less oppressive, listen, believe, and, quote, break with white solidarity.
Okay. Well, at least we're not asking people to talk with affected accents or something like that.
That's true. On Monday, LinkedIn said it had pulled the controversial course featuring interviews with sociologist Robin DiAngelo, the author of White Fragility. The Confronting Racism course featuring Robin DiAngelo is no longer available in our course library. At the request of the third-party content provider, they licensed the content from, said LinkedIn, and it was ultimately because the professor that they included didn't actually support the idea. But here's a screenshot of the slideshow here. To be less white is to be less oppressive.
Wow.
Be less arrogant. Be less certain. Be less defensive.
So the certainty thing really bothers me. As a, just sort of a genetic know-it-all, Coca-Cola probably should have culled through this a little more, but I'm not surprised in this world where everybody's like, hey, you person who's going to be deciding whether or not we implement this program are completely unqualified to implement this program because you're a racist, sexist, white, homophobic a-hole, right? Like, I could, at this point, as a heterosexual, white, cisgendered male, I could not make the choice for a large company as to whether or not they should have a course because I would say, this is absolute poppycock and you're obviously an insane person for suggesting it, right? I mean, like, that's where where it all be coming from.
Not the idea of an anti-racism course. You don't find that to be nonsense, do you?
I tend to think that most of the things, the vast majority of things that we call racist in this world at this point are not. I don't like racism, but I know what racism is, and I could even define it. However, I just had to deal with somebody on Facebook recently who was calling something misogynistic. And they're like, well, I don't mean the old definition of misogyny. I mean the new definition of misogyny. I'm like, what the hell is that? Crap you don't like? You know, things that are said, some of the hoi polloi were talking about how some superheroes in the Marvel series are attractive. Women are attractive, right? It was just all that. And somehow that's misogynistic.
So, Mark, you have a related story. I don't know how related it is. It's about people being crazy, though. So I guess that makes it related.
Well, I've got a couple of stories today that seemed sort of very strange. There was a situation where a woman at Smith College, and Smith College, for those that don't know, has got to be one of the most woke places in America. This is a all-girls college in Northampton, Massachusetts. And the staff member, she's a staff member there, and basically they had some trouble. I think it was in 2018 that somebody called one of the staff members or faculty or whatever racist, that there was an investigation on that accusation and nothing was found that was not found to be true. Now, I don't know. Maybe they are racist. I have no idea. But what we can see is that on college campuses over the course of the last 5 years or so, young people appear to be far more interested in social activism than they are in, say, being all they can be academically. And
I'm sure that's true for some segment of the college crowd.
Yeah. Well, the ones that's getting press. How's that? I mean, when Yale.
Well, yeah, because oh, this is a straight A student with a 4.0 GPA going on to get their doctorate, right? Is not newsworthy.
Agreed. At Smith College has never been known for its academics, or like not recently been known for its academics. It has been known for its social activism. They're working on increasing the color palette in the students and the faculty.
By faculty, you mean the teachers and the administrative staff? And
Right. Okay. And the staff, however, is drawn from the locals in, you know, Massachusetts, which is going to be a largely white place.
Like groundskeepers, janitors, that sort of thing?
Yeah, people are watching over the houses and that sort of thing. So this lady is some kind of staff, and she seems to watch over the she's like a house marm or something like that, and watches over the students, make sure they don't do anything bad. Well, so the staff, who are, you know, the lowest level workers there, are all white. And the students, who are pretty privileged if you're going to one of the best schools in the country, and the faculty, which is well paid.
Is it one of the best schools in the country? Because you just said it's not known for its academics.
You can get hired. Well, if you're hiring somebody from Smith, then you're hiring wokeism. You've got it's like 3 credits of woke instead of just one.
Gotcha.
You know,
and so it looks good on a resume, but it's not really one of the best schools.
What are any of the best schools? The best schools?
I don't know. I think college is a waste of time.
Harvard won't tell your grade point average. They'll just tell whether you graduated or not. Okay. All right. So if you get a D at Harvard, you don't get greed. If you graduate with the lowest score possible in your class in Harvard, you're still a Harvard man. Her name is Jody Shaw. And she is a staff member. She is not faculty. She's staff. And basically her claim is that the college is so woke that they're the opposite of woke now. Like they've crossed the line and gone the other direction. That reverse racism has kicked in. And I have
that's been the case for a long time. I mean, earlier you basically quoted Martin Luther King Jr., who said that, you know, he dreamed of a day when a person was judged by the content of their character, but you're considered racist now if you say that.
Well, I don't think you're considered racist for it, because they won't say that actual quotes from Martin Luther King Jr. are racist, but if you live like that, then you're racist. If you live like the content of one's character is the most important thing about them and not the color of their skin, you are clearly a racist. Now, saying it, you know, it's like, oh, well, you did say content of your character, which, you know, gives you a pass, because you're allowed to say content of character. You're not allowed to say, you know, actions and behavior. Actions have consequences, and behavior is going to result in, you know, negative behavior is going to result in negative consequences or anything like that, because that's bad. Outcomes must be equal. But you had asked me whether, you know, to defend the notion that race is a social construct. And I have come to this conclusion.
For the record, I agree with you. I just wouldn't care to make the argument.
Okay, so I'm going to make the argument. You might be able to claim that Asian is a race, and you might be able to claim that white is a race, but you cannot claim that black is a race, because it is so many different races. It is in fact, the race, human race. So all of this argument.
Well, that would be equally true of any white races. I mean, the people in Europe are drastically different from the people in Ukraine. They might be more genetically similar.
Okay.
But at what point along these genetic similarities are we saying, okay, at this point, at 99.996%,
then you're part of the same race or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. So
it's an arbitrary delineation point.
Scientists have not been able to find something called race. They can't figure it out. Now, our lying eyes say, huh, there's a black guy, there's an Asian guy, there's a white guy, right? Like, we know what a race looks like, but there's no definition of it from a scientific standpoint, because you can't determine what makes a race a race. If I am closer genetically to a man from Ethiopia than I am, than that man is to a man in Ghana, then am I the same race as the Ethiopian? Obviously, our lying eyes would say no.
In a lot of these cases, simply existing as a white cis person or white male or even a white trans person, you must be racist, because they've equated being white to being racist, which obviously is racist.
It's clearly racist. Judging somebody by the color of their skin is like the definition of racism.
But
it's,
see, they've changed the definition to incorporate this power dynamic that, oh, you have to have this prestige and wealth and power in order to be racist.
Well, is it so then
you can't be racist if you're the majority.
So a poor
or minority
white man can be racist with no problem?
No, because
I know a lot of them.
No, because he's still part of the majority.
Well, he's not. I mean, there is no majority, right? There is no in, you know, the world or America or anything. There is no majority anything. White men are not the majority. Admittedly, historically, they had more power than they do today. And we can look at history and say that when people are when their power diminishes, they tend to caterwaul about it. And this is the thing I try to keep an eye on as I talk about these things. I certainly don't want to be one of those things. But I will point out, while everybody's pointing out how they get to be not, privileged, I spent 8.5 years in prison for a crime I didn't commit. There was definitely a time in U.S. history when being black sucked. And there
it's probably not a walk in the park still. It probably is easier to be white than it is to be black in the United States.
I don't know the answer to that.
That's why I said probably.
It probably depends on where you are.
It depends on where you are, how you choose to dress, how you choose to talk, and the sort of activities in which you participate.
Right, but those are unrelated to skin color.
They are, and, you know, like some people will act like they're not, you know? Like Trayvon Martin was held up as a black martyr, but there was a big deal made about his hoodie. Now, his hoodie isn't black. In fact, it was white.
Trayvon Martin was the kid that was in, was it Miami or something like
killed
that?
Killed by George Zimmerman.
I think it was closer to Orlando. I think it was
somewhere in Florida with a guy, George Zimmerman, who was like a neighborhood watcher kind of guy.
Who was not
guy,
white.
Did he shoot the guy? Did he shoot?
I think he shot him.
And killed, yeah. Shot and killed the young man.
And he had, like, some candy and a soda or something that Trayvon did?
Now, we don't know whether Trayvon, like, the story is very difficult to parse out, and Trayvon Martin is not here to testify, but there's no doubt that he was wearing a hoodie, right?
I would say his testimony is largely irrelevant. George Zimmerman was out of line.
I don't know if George Zimmerman had been in a fight and Trayvon Martin was after him and he was retreating and he shot. I don't know. I mean, the thing is that it's much easier to defend.
I've retreated from fights. I've never shot anyone.
Well, he was only in a fight with him. If he was in a fight, it was because he was picking on him.
She never reveals the incident for her. She's talking about many other incidents in her videos and these sorts of things.
Well, it seems like she's doing the right thing. I mean, she's leaving a place where she's uncomfortable and where the situation sucks, and that's what people really ought to do. And it ought to include people who are at jobs where they're being told they have to wear a mask, for instance. People need to, if they don't like it, they ought to express themselves to the management. And then if they're a good employee, they should be willing to take a walk.
I think that there's another issue here that's kind of worth pointing out is that the major colleges in the United States, the ones that we've always called the best schools, have taken a hard turn to the left, if that's what you want to call it. But more, I don't even know that identity politics is really leftist. I think it's just more insanity. But whatever.
Haven't these colleges been hard left? I mean, everybody's always talked about that the whole time I've been alive.
Hard left, but not identity politics left. And there's a difference there, and that's what I'm trying to point out is that now, today, as a business owner, if somebody comes to you with a degree from Smith College or Harvard or Yale or wherever, Princeton, you're probably thinking about it differently than you did 10 years ago, just 10 years ago.
I mean, you can go onto YouTube right now and look up every video you would ever need to build an actual house. People have done this.
Oh, yeah. And it's true with music, too. I mean, I can't imagine the music industry cares about your degree. I can tell you the radio industry certainly doesn't. But there are jobs where it matters. If you wanted to be, say, a state senator, Ian, how many times have you run for state senator or governor?
I don't know. A few.
Yeah, several times. And
I don't think he lost because he didn't have a
coat. He's always lost to somebody with a degree. And I'll tell you this, almost everybody who's run for president in the United States, won the presidency in the United States, has gone to an Ivy League college or a military school.
Who cares?
It would be
interesting.
That's
not something to aspire to be a politician. I don't run for office because I care.
I hope good people
actually getting elected.
We were just talking about
it's just a tool.
Amash and Massey.
So it's just a tool to get in the news with the ideas of freedom. That's the only reason I run for office. I don't actually want to get elected. My God, that would be terrible.
Well, at this point, you haven't had to worry about getting elected.
That's right.
I don't think it's because he doesn't have a college degree, though.
Arya, right. If you had won in the sheriff run, would you have taken office?
Yeah.
The college may have started out for the purpose of educating you, but now 90% of the purpose of colleges and universities is indoctrination, programming, brainwashing, and filtering, using it as a mechanism to filter out undesirables from those that will be allowed into the institutions, the power structures of government, whether by elected officials or administrators or high-end corporations that play footsie with the government. That's the entire reason of the university structure. Like the University of New Mexico, that's the purpose. And they do things like, first of all, you need to apply and be accepted, right? And then you need to pay them off their extortion money, right? And then you need to be graded all the way along. And anytime somebody doesn't like you, they want you out of the program so that you don't have future control. They just fail you or reduce your grades enough that you don't get the most desirable jobs based on your grade.
This happens a lot, and young people are very concerned with this. And they write, you can find it all over the internet, where young people are saying, hey, look, I'm in for a penny, in for a pound on this degree, and if I don't get it, then I don't get whatever the job is that I want to get in the future. And so I've got to parrot these lines that these people say.
I'm so glad I didn't go to a four-year college. I mean, I only wasted 2 years, and I didn't have debt after I left that thing. Man, these poor kids.
I had scholarships, so I didn't have to do it. So to me, that's the number one test. If you have to pay to go to college, that's your number one sign that you're not smart enough to go to college.
Well, that is a system that doesn't work universally, right? Like, if everybody who was wasn't smart enough to get some kind of scholarship didn't pay, then everybody who got a scholarship would have to pay because the college wouldn't get enough money. But
that doesn't mean they belong there.
I like systems that work for the individual, and that is a system that has been recommended more than one time by some very successful people here on the air, is that if you go to all the school you can get for free. And I think that that's a fair thing to say, which means, by the way, do well in school so that you can get to go to school for free. But another thing I'd like to point out, Ian, is that you are kind of a fringe case in so much as you were very successful in your youth as an entrepreneur. And
plenty of people can be entrepreneurs if they actually try and go out and do that. But college and government school destroys those ideas. It tells people that they have to get a job, that they have to work for somebody else, they have to have a career.
New York activists respond to brutal attack on Asian men by rallying against white nationalism, even though the culprit was black. Anti-racism activists in New York have...
The sad thing is, it doesn't really matter if this is true or not, because I could see this
happening.
Highly
believable.
Yeah.
Right.
But was he a black white nationalist?
It could be.
Leighton Bixby.
Yeah. God, that Dave Chappelle is just a genius. He's just so great.
By the way, speaking of white nationalists, Chris Cantwell is expected to be sentenced tomorrow morning.
Yeah, the Keen Sentinel had a story. I thought when I read the story, I felt a little betrayed by you, because the thing that you talked about Cantwell was that he had said mean things to this other white nationalist, and I didn't really care about that. But his other charge was, he had two charges, and the other one actually seemed bad and wrong, yeah, and likely that he did.
No, it was the same white nationalist that he was talking with. One charge was, Cantwell has done some, bad and
he's
wrong things.
He's a gross
things,
dude.
No doubt about that, but at least in this particular case, all he did was talk crap to another person who is just as bad, if not worse, of a character than he was on the Telegram app. And one of the charges was interstate threats, and the other one was interstate extortion. Those aren't the exact names of the charges, but that's essentially what they were, federal charges.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.